Jagged.
Mercy and you and me, but to be
good morning, CKLM listeners. It is the 14th day of February 2011. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody out there. Hopefully you enjoyed Protection by Massive Attack, a track taking us back. I don't know if you folks remember this from way back in the day, but it's an awesome, awesome album by Massive Attack, so I thought I'd bring it back out for people out there familiar with it, or people out there who should be. And speaking of which, a special thanks to the first ladies of reggae here at CKLN, Ital Roots Reggae. The ladies are moving to Tuesdays from 3 to 5 p.m., as some of you might know, so congratulations to them on having a primetime drive spot. It's too bad that some of their brilliance is limited by the slightly shorter time slot, but I'm sure that they're going to make a massive impact on the people of Toronto and satisfy their souls after a long Tuesday of work on the way home. So it's an awesome, awesome spot. It's been a pleasure working with them in the mornings here, and so they will certainly be missed. And whenever I had a chance to catch their show, I was blown away by their brilliant brand of reggae and soul that they provide for us here in Toronto. So congratulations to them. Congratulations to CKLN Radio and all the people out there who worked hard to give our radio station, your community radio station, a stay of execution with the CRTC basically suspending their decision effectively on Friday and letting us know that we were not going to go off air on Saturday as planned. So thank you so much to all the people out there who signed the petition, over 5,000 of you. Who wrote your MPs or other politicians or prominent people. Thank you to everyone who wrote the CRTC directly. As you can see, when we do get active with respect to petitioning our political system, we often get good results. And so that is something that I strongly stress here on the radio whenever possible. So here on your Monday, February 14th, 2011, here on your Rude Awakening, this is your host, BK, a.k.a. VJ, Mondays and Thursdays, and I like to break down a few issues related to the New World Order. Well, what is the New World Order? I got to be honest with you. I was listening the other night to Mr. Peter Mansbridge, the CBC's own Peter Mansbridge, the Mansbridge to Truth, here in Canada on the CBC and the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation program, The National. And he was hosting an episode of the CBC show Turning Point. And this is sometime around 9:10-ish on Saturday night. And I think it was a rebroadcast download, so it wasn't the original download, or it wasn't the original airing date. But the point is that as he cuts the commercial, Peter Mansbridge looks directly into the camera and says, "We're going to ask our four panelists," because Turning Point is a show where they get four panelists on to slightly disagree about the issues of the day, and he says, "We're going to come back and ask our four panelists if they think that this situation in Egypt is the beginning of a new world order." And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. So then I whipped out my MP3 player and I recorded some of this exchange after they got back in about 4 or 5 minutes, but it was kind of boring. Although it was really funny. When you heard him say New World Order, it flashed to the faces of the four panelists. And again, there are people that if you're in on the joke, if you're on the fact that there is a new world order, a shadow government, essentially the super rich elite of the world who have been controlling it for generations, ostensibly, and using their think tanks and foundations and secret societies and media and corporations and banks they own to manage our stages of development. And the New World Order is what they're trying to create, essentially the Old World Order, creating a system of permanent control over the entire planet. So it's a pretty loaded term, depending on who you ask. For certain academics at the lower levels, I mean, it's been used before. Noam Chomsky wrote a book called A Reader into the New World Order. So it's a term that's been used and bandied about and normalized. But it essentially means the end game of globalization. And so it flashes to the different panelists on Turning Point, And you get to see a look on each of their faces. And some of them, they're all trying to remain poker-faced here, but some of them got, you know, slightly wicked Cheshire cat grins. The brown dude in the goatee is sweating slightly, and he's slightly uncomfortable with the term. But when they got back, the panel on CBC discussed the New World Order and where they thought this would be the beginning of a fundamental change in international relations. And two of them thought yes, and two of them thought no, and all of them admitted that they were just guessing. And that is what passes for political discourse on our mainstream media television stations. And yet, if you go on the internet, if you go on YouTube, and you can check out, you know, alternate TV, or if you go find Russia Today or the odd European broadcast, or even the odd Chinese broadcast. Because the Chinese recently had a member of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth on, as countries around the world, you know, leaders around the world try and play defense against this plan by releasing, you know, more and more information about the Anglo-American establishment behind the New World Order. So that's where we are here. And I got to tell you, you know, it's pretty obvious. You know, what's been happening for the last few decades. What's less obvious is who's been behind it and what we can do about it. And so let me just map out a bit of the future for you here in Canada, as I essentially like to call it Communist Canada, because of our difficulty in some ways of speaking about serious issues in serious ways. And there's you know, It's funny, even with respect to the and I listen to a lot of talk radio, and I try and consume some media, and I read some articles, and there's a way of speaking about things which is a dance towards the mainstream that makes your message more acceptable and accessible to more people. And I'll give you an example with Egypt. If I was interviewed by a mainstream media organization right now, I would not treat Egypt and the situation in Egypt the same way I would in casual conversation with someone who I'd have more time with and could answer any questions and you know, wouldn't have my words misconstrued. But you have to kind of say you support the people and you know, you think it's great that Mubarak's gone and he was a terrible dictator and hopefully they can map out their own futures, and you have to kind of pledge allegiance to that because it's the nice thing to do. But then, how do you bring in the other side of this is likely a CIA sponsored, you know, color revolution style people power coup, supported by the West, supported by basically non governmental organizations and foundations and think tanks that are allied with the U.S. State Department, and that helped foment the protests, and you had people like the Google executive who helped plan this almost a year in advance, Mohammed El-Baradei, former head of the International Atomic Energy Agency and a top globalist, being there weeks in advance and giving anti-Mubarak speeches and trying to foster dissent among the masses. And so how do you explain that once you've committed so far towards the mainstream media's narrative with respect to what's going on? This is what makes it really, really difficult to say, you know. It's almost like with respect to the future, as I was alluding to getting into just now. In the future, you can expect a lot of the independent activist groups there, communist groups and the Marxist groups and a lot of the socialist groups. You can expect them to get on Twitter and Facebook and head into the streets calling for, well, overthrow of the upper middle class and the middle class, and saying we've had it too good and we're running out of resources and we've all got to cut back and you shouldn't be driving an SUV. And basically they're going to be used to attack successful adults in this culture. And the youth revolution, the concept of the youth revolution, is very, very dangerous. Very, very sexy. It's been made sexy by our media, and you know, many of us think that the youth will rise up and take control over their futures. except the problem is they just don't know as much as adults do. And they can be more easily fooled and confused, and their wonderful energy and passion can be co-opted by different interests that aren't in their interest or in the interest of the people they're supposedly fighting for. And so that's often what happens. It happened in the Communist Revolution in the early 1900s. It happened in the Nazi Revolution in the 1930s. It's happened in Communist Revolutions in China, in Vietnam. And essentially what they do is they get disenfranchised youth who are concerned about job prospects, concerned about their future, feel the system is alienated them, and they're disconnected from their friends and their family, and it takes all that anger and channels it into a rebellion against the only system they know, the system that's on TV or that's part of the common understanding. And so because that is the destabilization as defined, then they find it much more difficult to deal with the true power elite, the financiers and banking elite of the world who manage these processes. And they fall victim to a lot of foundation-funded activism and foundation-funded media that gets, curiously enough, a lot of support from the mainstream media at certain times, and they fall victim to that narrative. So we can see right now in our cultures, youth are being elevated to a substantial degree. We're getting more and more news about them, and you can see something like, I'm just looking at Yahoo Canada right here right now. Lady Gaga wins 3 Grammys, swears on stage. So this is a classic example of what's celebrated in a headline. And adults out there can read this and get used to it, and you get more and more stories of Miley Cyrus smoking a bong and Lindsay Lohan in and out of jail and shoplifting and rehab. And well, is Charlie Sheen acting a fool too? But certainly the youth out there who could be told that, you know, this is not good behavior are in fact being sold as being fashionably rebellious, whereas adults are supposed to just take this and over time it gets us used to the idea that they run things. And the whole system is geared around them, because this is a reversal of the old world order by the new world order. And the Grammy Awards were on last night, and you got the Justin Bieber, and there's a whole bunch of grown up acts there too. And I saw a bit of it last night. I watched about an hour. Actually, I watched a couple hours until the Eminem performance with Dr. Dre and Rihanna and Skylar Grey, which was okay. But the point is, I was looking at to see what was being celebrated, and you could see a distinct sort of lack of energy and promotion around the adult bands out there. You know, the Lady Antebellums. You know, they do very well and they sell a lot of albums, but they just aren't hyped by our media as much, our mass media. You get bands like Muse, who have Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com listed on their website as websites they recommend to check out. So they are decidedly anti-New World Order. And even they are not given much, coverage by our media. I'll give an example. I just typed Muse into news right now, and there is one article from MTV, one article from the LA Times, one article from GigWise, one from Access Hollywood, and most of them refer to him thanking Kate Hudson, his wife, his girlfriend, his pregnant girlfriend. And that's about it. And this is one of the biggest rock bands in the world, and they're an anti-New World Order rock band, so you've got to, wonder why that is. And so the reason I'm collecting these thoughts here is kind of a framing device for what's been happening and where this is going. And there's a clip I'd like to play. It's a clip I play once in a while, and it's called Heroes, Values, Men and Women. And this is from October 4th, 2007. This is an interview I did with Mr. Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. And so here on Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2011, on your Monday morning Rude Awakening, I'd like to give us an idea of whether or not, you know, any of these things that were discussed just over 3 years ago by Mr. Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com and myself, if you see if any of them have come to pass. This is a clip from an interview I did with Mr. Watt, where we go into, you know, basically how our cultures are being changed and rearranged by the New World Order and what we have to do to resist that. But it also especially deals with men and women today. Because, as you'll hear me bring up, you know, often on this show, our relationships are being messed with to divide us, to conquer us, to make us isolated and easier to control, but also to make sure we can't win in the scrap against the New World Order. And here's what I mean. All right, so you got the Because I'm a Girl and the One Girl campaigns and the plan to save the world, and you got Jennifer Beal, the former chick from Flashdance in the 80s, is now the head of the Chicago Police Force on TV. And I have absolutely no problem with women, you know, getting roles and kicking ass and all this sort of thing. But the reason that these archetypes are promoted so often by our media, and the reason that we've had, you know, Everybody Loves Raymond with kind of shrill, shrewish women and really meek, mild guys, is the New World Order wants to turn guys into wimps, thugs, or jackasses, and wants to turn women into Lululemon, Chickilluminati, yoga robot, mind control sex slaves, and put them in charge. Because the people that want to create a permanent scientific dictatorship know that if they take guys out of the game, then it'll be way harder for cultures as a whole to fight back. And that's why they're doing this stuff in Afghanistan and the Middle East as well. A lot of these programs to fund women's businesses and give loans to women only. You might think it's great. You might think that they've been disenfranchised by these cultures for some time. But what you don't realize is that it turns all the guys into criminals, desperate criminals, as they remain poor, as they're not allowed to get loans, as they can no longer feel proud and take care of their families and their households. That's what this is for. It's for cultural destruction. And even here, in this part of the world, just 200-300 years ago, in the times of slavery, when they brought the slaves over, you can see archetypes of this in fiction or in movies. They always made sure that they brought a woman. They made women the head of the household, of the slave households. And they even had a couple of women who were allowed inside the master's house and given positions of privilege, whereas the men were not. Why? Well, because they knew that if they elevated women over the status of men, then the men wouldn't feel worthwhile, and then the men wouldn't defend their families in those slave contexts. And they knew that you know, geez, we got to keep these big black guys from beating the crap out of us. So how do we do it? Well, we're gonna make women the heads of the household, and we're gonna emasculate them. We're gonna culturally emasculate them. And so, again, I think that the couples should be supporting each other. We shouldn't be competing. Men and women shouldn't be competing. We should be working together. We should be taking care of the kids, and we should be taking care of our communities and looking to work on our futures and make sure that we have some control over them. So, on that note, this clip from my interview with Alan Watt called Heroes, Values, Men and Women from October 4th, 2007. Let's see if any of the things we discussed have manifest, and then we'll come back and discuss a bit more of the news here. But this is a framing device here on Valentine's Day to see if we can figure this stuff out. Our heroes. I mean, there's a Gideon Bible in every hotel room in the world. The New World Order wouldn't put them there if, I mean, they wouldn't allow that to happen if they didn't want it to happen. But you know, is there a way to identify with the values of some of these people, say the icon of peace of the 20th century who we look to? I mean, people say to me right now, oh, where's the new Gandhi? We need a new Gandhi. And it's like, to find out that everybody we've heard of has basically been part of a lie. Yeah. Is one thing, but also, in my opinion, maybe you can speak on this with your experience, it is the values that they need to sell us that I think we can relate to. So, for instance, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, turn the other cheek, forgive the whores, beat the moneylenders, done. I think we can use all those things.
Yeah.
And today we have heroes like Dexter, the blood splatter expert who also kills people, and they say, good or evil, you decide.
Yeah.
So they're destroying our values right now so that we can't even use those to pick our heroes, but in the past we could. So is there a way to sort of recognize, regardless of how they were used, the values that we related to that made us like them and made us humans?
Yeah, well, but then again, guys like H.G. Wells were trained initially by Thomas Huxley, and a whole bunch of revolutionaries actually were trained by Huxley. They said that the first thing they had to do was encourage free love. Now, this is in the 1800s, not in the 1960s. They said that to promote free love, because the earlier they could start children having sex, the less likely they would be to bond with anyone down the road. And they tried this in the 1920s to when they brought in the booze can houses after creating prohibition, and made them very exciting places to go for the young, quite naturally so. And they brought in the miniskirt with the Charlton dance and all that. They brought in cocaine as well. The brothels in Canada ran the whole booze industry and the cocaine industry down into the U.S. But even at that, they didn't have the pill, the birth control pill. They didn't have the antibiotics for venereal diseases, and so there was too much of a fallout. They couldn't swing it off. So they put so much money after that to work with science to find a way of birth control and penicillins, etc., that came out of it, and then introduced the same thing, miniskirts, music, cocaine, drugs, in the 1960s to try and start the whole thing off again. And they knew at the time that what's the best way of reducing the population? Well, you get the people to start reducing it themselves through abortion. Without the vast promiscuity, you wouldn't have the side effects or the outcome of it, you see. Create the problem, give the solution. That's the oldest technique in the book. And this particular topic is explained by Lord Bertrand Russell, as I said, key member and player in all of this kind of stuff, in his book, The Impact of Science on Society. He said eventually women will think that they won their rights by themselves. They'll never guess that they were given to them by us. He said they will think they're free, but in fact they've simply joined the men in their form of slavery.
Amazing, Mr. Alan Watt at cuttingthroughthematrix.com. I'd like to get to him. We discussed men being turned into savage soldiers and heading off to the Middle East to destroy a culture they really don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
But women, I've got a soft spot for women. I can see how they've been socialized. I can see that they're told to look for balance and never achieve it because it's impossible. I mean, you just guys just do stuff, whereas women are given all sorts of problems and little tricks of the trade to fool them into thinking they're inadequate and failing at life as opposed to just doing life and maybe taking a chance to enjoy it. So the specific attacks on women that you've seen historically from the Nazi era or before that to today.
Yeah, well, again, too, World War II, for instance, they knew that World War II was coming. The Royal Institute for International Affairs wrote about it coming. I have the minutes of their meetings from the books that they published for their members at the time. And they said that when the men are gone, we shall promote the women into the factories to get them in full-time employment. This ties in again with The Next Million Years by Charles Galton, Darwin, Charles Darwin, or Galton Darwin, where he said that if they can get women in the workplace competing with men and giving them good salaries, he says, then that they're less likely to get married and have children. They'd rather have a car or own something. So by using it in physical materialistic incentives, they hoped that they'd separate male and female, so they're both running after the material goods they could purchase. And he said, well, it shall also create an egocentric society, a society whose taught are supposed to be happy all the time, and that will aim 90% of all our advertising at the female population. And that's why if you look in any store with the magazines, 90% of the magazines are aimed at women. You open any of them up, they'll tell you, it's all by experts. This is what kind of sex you're supposed to have. This is what kind of lifestyle you're supposed to have. This is what kind of house you're supposed to be able to afford. It's all telling them how they're supposed to be. They're not allowed to be themselves. They're constantly being told they're supposed to be something else, something different, something better. They're unattainable. Meanwhile, their instincts, though, are at work, everyone wants bonding. They want to feel they belong somewhere with someone. And yet the whole society, the movies you watch, the soap operas on television, all that stuff is to make you dissatisfied with any partner you could possibly meet. Same with the men. The men are constantly looking at these young babes you see all the time. Look at any series on television, which is primarily to do with hospitals, because that's a big control factor, is the health industry, cops, detectives, and law courts. That's another part of the control factor, you see. And the actors they're picking are about 20, 21, 22, playing the parts of professional, hardened detectives or specialist proctors, which is impossible in real life. So we're also always looking for youth. And at the other end of the spectrum, they said that they would separate the generations. So the elderly, the ones that used to have wisdom to pass on to their grandchildren, are out of the picture altogether. They've successfully separated the genders and the generations as well from each other.
Well, absolutely, Mr. Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. I mean, this is endemic in the society I see living here in Toronto, a very cosmopolitan city. And I've talked to guys about this, and women, frankly, and with their lack of interest in sort of, I guess, in quotes, getting political, which is almost a dirty word today, or understanding what's going on, guys are not prepared to screw it up. I mean, they want to get laid, so
yep.
You're not going to say anything that's going to upset them, so you're not going to talk about anything heavy. You're going to keep it light and fluffy and give them a break from the daily drudgery they go through. And yet, is there a way to see getting political, in quotes, that dirty word that girls, I mean, absolutely shut down? Guys sometimes will still give you a fight, run for your money with whatever crappy history or media they consume. But is there a way to use getting political or learning what's happening or being aware of the growing fascism and fighting it as a way of self-help that beats the failing self-help that's out there?
Absolutely. The stuff that's already set out for the public is a red herring or it'll bring you back into the fold from a different direction. The whole idea is to get you back in the system, thinking the way of the system. And I always think of psychiatry, which is a big tool in this whole thing. If you go through the history of psychiatry, it was involved in eugenics from the beginning. They truly believed if they could destroy those who were the carriers of recessive genes, they would destroy all what they called mental illness. Now remember, mental illness at times, like during the fascist era, if you were anything but a fascist, you were called mentally ill. During the Soviet era, they had psychiatric disorders for dissenters, just for dissenting. So we have to be very careful with these industries. And we've got to remember that these are the industries now that are in control of the marketing companies. They use psychology, psychiatry, to put opinions and ideas right across into your mind in the absolute knowledge that you will eventually emulate what you see. We mimic what we see on television. We mimic what we see in movies. And that's, again, going all the way back to Plato, who understands the culture creation industry in his day, 2,300-odd years ago. Plato and the Republic went through the necessities, how to control whole populations by upgrading their culture. He said culture never comes from the grassroots. If it did, he said that we, the elite, the aristocracy, would lose control. Therefore, whatever culture is given to the public is authorized and given to the lower orders by us. And he says we use the fashion, he called it industry, by the way, the fashion industry, and he said the music industry and the drama industry, he said, because the young will emulate what they see on stage. They will sing the songs that they hear on stage, and they'll start to dress in the fashions they see on stage. Everything in culture, unfortunately, is given to us. That's the sad truth. So we have to decide what is innate to human nature. And if we go into human nature, you'll find that belonging, certainly, we are gregarious types of beings. We come from ancient tribal societies, so we do need some form of interpersonal relationships. But we also have this need to bond to perpetuate the species as well, and hopefully to pick your partner to do it with. That's an innate need in people. And so we have women and men today who are being brainwashed and constantly bombarded with opposing information, telling them to just be a stud if you're a guy and just go around from one to the other. And a lot of the women are trying to emulate that too. But deep within themselves, you can't break an instinct through propaganda. All you can do is cause a form of neurosis through suppression. You will suppress certain parts of your nature. But if you suppress certain parts of your nature, they'll only emerge in other parts. You can't keep it down. And again, going back to Professor Carl Quigley's book, now, being the head historian of the Council on Foreign Relations, remember, he said in that book, Tragedy and Hope, he said, an astonishing thing is occurring today. He said, suddenly the youth are mating with each other, even amongst friends they're having promiscuity, and remaining friends afterwards, and he said the women are emulating the men in the way they walk, the way that they talk, and in their behavior. And he doesn't comment too far on that, except to say this is an astonishing thing has occurred. You tie that into, as I say, Charles Galton, Darwin, and other writers who talked about using hormonal inoculations that would affect hormones and so on, and you start wondering, were they actually doing this at the time to make this behavior occur? We find Carl Jung, the psychiatrist as well, who worked with Freud, talking about the same thing. He said, it's interesting to notice, and this is the late 1950s, he says, that the American women are leading this change, he said, by walking like men. They've lost their eros, they're losing their eros, and their pride in having eros and being different. So the main thing that made us so different from each other, which is the complementary aspect of each other when you get together, was being lost. And the women were adapting and beginning to look and talk and walk like the men. What caused that to happen? It wasn't just the fact they were emulating what they saw in the movies. I think there's been big tampering in the hormonal levels, like Charles Galton Darwin talked about in his book.
Absolutely, and as tribal creatures, I mean, I think one man's love might be enough to sustain a woman. I know I've had girlfriends instead of over a few on getting married in terms of getting that close to the woman. KLN listeners, hopefully you enjoyed that blast from the past from Mr. Alan Watt at CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, and we can see the results of that today. Major increases in promiscuity, a lot of nihilism out there being sold as the thing to do, and even if you get married and you settle down, you have some kids, it seems like the only thing you should do is get back out and start shagging again, according to our New World Orders. So what can we do about this? Well, We got to inform people about the New World Order and let them know, what's going on here. But I have an article from henrymakow.com here where he talks about a movie, and he calls the article "Dumping My Dream Girl." He says, "I am proud of a dream I recently had. I was young again and single. My beautiful girlfriend and I were shopping. I suggest we go back to my apartment. I was feeling loving and want to hang out and cuddle, just happy to be together. Sex wasn't an issue. Shortly after arriving, she says she has to leave. Thwarted in love, again. In the dream, I press her for an explanation. She doesn't have one. She doesn't want to be with me. I grant her wish. I tell her I'm not interested in games. We're finished. The end. I wake up and am pleased by my subconscious action. You see, when I was young, I endured all kinds of misery from my infatuations, patiently overcoming each obstacle thrown my way. I was the poster child for needy. In one instance, a woman who looked like M. Beth above, and M. Beth is the M. Beth Richards is the article, M. Beth Davids rather is the actress in the movie The Gingerbread Man. In one instance, a woman who looked like M. Beth said she found me, quote, repulsive. If there was a clue to tell a woman to F off and get out, this was it. Instead, I ignored the comment and patiently persevered. We ended up living together for almost 5 years. I could fill another book in addition to A Long Way to Go for a Date with what I endured. Obviously, I was immature and largely responsible for my fate. I am 61 now and no longer a player. I've been happily married for 10 years. I only wish I had awakened from this dream sooner. We talk about being, quote, programmed by the mass media. Men are missing the biggest programming of all, the notion that sex and love are the key to happiness. We need a woman's love to develop us as men. We need to sexually satisfy women to prove our masculinity. We are programmed to seek feminine approval when our own approval is all that matters. The programming is intensifying. Every time I watch TV, I see dominant women paired with feminized men who are trying to impress the women. Anyway, I've been there, done that. I've satisfied a few women countless times, and I've been satisfied as well. I've matured in the prescribed way, but I wish I had found a shortcut and downgraded the role of women in sex to its real level of importance, say from 75% to 25%. I wish I hadn't loved them. Looking back, none was worth it. I've wasted half my life. And this is nothing against young women here as a whole. This is just about how guys can maintain some control, especially when women out there are being, you know, told to bear it all and sell their soul. As I break from the article for a second to editorialize, you can see this out there right now. You can see that Michelle Obama and all these other celebrities, all they get credit for is dressing well in the mass media. I'm talking about what filters out to the mass consciousness, what eventually changes all of us because it becomes part of our culture as we are brought through these stages. And you can see articles on Michelle Obama looked so good in a $35 H&M dress, and that being her celebrated accomplishment the most. You can go to various different websites. You can go to the Daily Mail. You can go to Yahoo. You can go anywhere, and you can see that most of the articles aimed at women are about fashion and are about love and sex. So, for example, here's an article here from Shine on Yahoo News, Single and Happy on February 14th. And it says here, throw a Trade Your Ex party, Vegas baby, book a spa day, do your taxes, throw an anti-love movie fest. Be a doll and babysit, throw a pajama party, poker night. This is advice for women out there who are single and who are celebrating their Valentine's Day alone. It's a toxic cocktail of approval and disapproval. And an aspiring model slash actress from England recently went to Philadelphia and had silicone injected into her butt and died from the procedure since it was an illegal plastic surgery procedure performed by a shady doctor who they're now looking for. And so this is a 20-year-old woman who was obsessed with the idea of getting butt injections to get a bigger butt. And she was willing to go through back alley procedures to accomplish this. And I got to tell you, you know, with all the parent coaches out there and the life coaches and all these other, you know, permutations in our cultures, we're getting sold that we can't think anymore because we need all this damn advice. And the more advice you think you need, the less you think you can think for yourself, even about your own life. You got the worst Valentine's Day gifts ever. You've got what to get him for Valentine's Day. You've got how to find the right personal trainer. You've got Blake Lively, the new Carrie Bradshaw, and on and on and on, as the Sex and the City programming motif is extended in life. So, just to, as a word of advice out there, number one, reject a lot of advice, especially the mainstream media, the mass media, the magazines, the TV out there. First of all, it's repetitive and it turns us into children because it's the same stuff every day, every week, and every year. And second of all, if you don't think for yourself, you won't be able to find out what you want. You'll just be able to, adopt solutions that have already failed for most people, which is what keeps them coming back looking for solutions. That's number one with respect to the advice. Number two, on male-female relationships, they have been tampered with, but I don't recommend sex outside of love for guys or girls. I know that there is a predilection out there to endorse it and to allow it and encourage it, but ultimately it's not as satisfying, so it shouldn't be a focus. And in a relationship, you know, women, you can destroy your dude, and they can destroy you. Dudes are being turned to pricks, too, and they're getting colder and colder. And the sort of mass teasing by our mass media and by our culture it results in guys being resentful a lot of times of women. And you know, back in the day, you know, a mom will tell you, you know, don't be a tease. Don't tease the boys. Don't act like that. You know, don't cause any trouble. Don't cause yourself trouble. And these days, they teach them how to tease. Oh, you got to wear that. Maybe you need implants, and on and on and on. So you can see the whole culture has been flipped because, again, as long as we have trouble through it seeming impolite, transcending what we're all supposed to say and talk about, then we're just going to go along with all this. But ultimately, if you do have better advice out there and better things to say, then by all means, I would recommend finding ways to do that, either in conversation or more formally. And on and on here, new eyebrows trend, it says here. And Natalie Portman's Style Archive, J-Lo's Leggy Looks, What Guys Forget on Valentine's Day. Guys Uncensored, Why Men Forget Valentine's Day. So it says here, because our friends forget it too, because we're tired out from the pursuit, because our emotions are reactionary. And this is again from Yahoo. So you can see how we're all being given ways to think and ways that we do think that may not necessarily be true and or accurate. But we can transcend that. We can transcend that. It is not an issue. I will fly through a couple of things before Mr. David James takes you on a 2-hour jazz or 4-hour jazz experience you will not forget. But yeah, just an idea out there for male-female relationships. You know, guys have to feel like they're in control, otherwise they lose their damn minds, and so it's important for them to do that. But that doesn't mean by dominating a woman, it means by doing your own thing and having her respect that, and through the process of respecting that, respecting them. And men have to provide a safe space for women. Men have to provide, in general, more personal space for women, especially in big crowded cities where we're getting herded together like rats. And we have to find ways to make each other feel comfortable as opposed to uncomfortable. So tons and tons and tons of things going on with respect to that. I'd like to talk about the government for a second, because I do a lot of that here on the show. Canada kept U.S. border talks under wraps, says a document from a story by Les Whittington and Tonda McCharles from the Toronto Star here. The federal government deliberately kept negotiations on a border deal with Washington secret while it planned ways to massage public opinion in favor of the pact, according to a confidential communications strategy. The 14-page public relations document recommended that talks keep a, quote, low profile in the months leading up to the announcements by Prime Minister Stephen Harper and U.S. President Barack Obama. At the same time, the government would secretly engage, quote, stakeholders, interested parties, such as big business groups and others, in a way that respects, quote, the confidentiality of the announcement. So they're literally coming out and telling us that they are keeping this border deal a secret from the public, but they were bringing in big business as stakeholders in this, as opposed to the public, who apparently aren't. It says here, in advance, the government departments involved, industry, foreign affairs, international trade, and citizenship and immigration were to, quote, align supportive stakeholders to speak positively about the announcement, according to the strategy prepared by Public Safety Minister Vic Toe's officials. So they basically got them together not only to offer them goodies and concessions, but to give them ways to speak about this. And that includes the owners of media, which is why you didn't hear about this before. At least three major business organizations, the Canadian Chamber of Commerce, the Canadian Council of Chief Executives, and the Canadian Trucking Alliance, quickly issued statements praising the framework agreement Friday. And keep in mind, the Canadian Council of Chief Executives is a branch of the CFR and Royal Institute for International Affairs, or Chatham House, out of London, a.k.a. the New World Order, and their think tanks of business and political leaders who manage the process of integrating all of our countries into a superstructure world government. And so we have to resist this. We have to resist this as best we can. Another article, which is really interesting, Swiss gun culture comes under fire. A friend of mine sent this to me. Voters in Switzerland will go to the polls on Sunday to decide on proposals aimed at restricting gun ownership. Now, essentially what happens in Switzerland is people serve in the military as part of mandatory military service and then take their guns home and keep them. And if the country's ever attacked, everybody has a gun and everybody can fight back and everybody knows how. So that's the Swiss model, but thanks to the United Nations, the bureaucratic agency responsible for running the new world government, gun rights around the world are being attacked. Keep in mind out there that less guns in the hands of innocent people leaves more guns in the hands of criminals, and so innocent people get victimized more often. It's happened in every case study in every city and town around the world. People are only disarmed to be enslaved. So keep in mind the cops don't stop crimes, they solve them. They show up later and say, what happened? I heard you got robbed. And you know, how can we find the guys and how can we find your stuff? That's the best that they offer in this situation. So we have to be a bit more self-reliant. I was hearing Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers talking about taking back the states and taking back your communities and forming your own neighborhood watches and your own neighborhood militias. And all of this is true, as well as getting active in the information war so people know why this is so important. With respect to that, there was also the notion of Oath Keepers, which is a group that has members in law enforcement and in the military sign up to join them, including former and current members, and they basically re-pledge to serve their constitution. They re-pledge to defend their constitutions, which they took an oath to defend. And so it's important for us here in Canada and people around the world to do that, to reach out to their military and police and intelligence establishments and say, look, here's what's going on, we know, and we can try and figure ways out of this system as it collapses on us. Engineered Economic Collapse Approaching, says Eric Blair from Infowars.com. And the whole system is starting to collapse around us. We don't get as much news about that as we should from our mainstream media. But it says here on the cover of the Metro, Mubarak's house crumbles, Lady Gaga eggs the Grammys, the terrible teachers report, Hazel McCallion had a 90th birthday batch, York Transit talks down to the wire, university students are unimpressed by their professors, and UFC 129 fans get burned on tickets as the UFC comes here and there's an issue with the ticket sales, where 40,000 tickets sold out in 4 minutes. And then a bunch of resellers started jacking everybody for them. So we're getting a toxic cocktail of fluff, and we'll forget. You're going to forget what I said in 30 seconds, and whoever reads the Metro today or most of the mainstream media will forget within a week, what they read. Let's try and find alternate conversations. Let's try and improve our relationships and our health and our wealth and get active in the information war. It's starting to get warmer out there, so we can hand out flyers, put up posters. Infowars.com, V for Victory campaign, a great inspiration for that as it takes on a life of its own. People posted outside the Super Bowl before, 80,000 people showed up. And so we can do that before major events here in this city, and people can do that where they live worldwide. Put up some posters, give people some info, show people resistance, public resistance on the streets so they get inspired, and so that we avoid, frankly, the protest model that was used in Egypt, which, although it's certainly tremendous news and makes for great television, right now, with the uncertainty surrounding Egypt, you can see why the InfoWar is a better option than getting out there when the chips are down, yelling and screaming and hoping for the best. So, on that note, a couple of websites to shout out before I do leave you. One is Infowars.com. Go there for the V for Victory campaign and much, much more about the news throughout America and throughout the world about the scientific dictatorship, police state, surveillance control grid takeover that we have to resist in every way possible. HenryMakow.com to finish that article about Dr. Mako in his dreams, rejecting a beautiful woman who didn't want him instead of whining and groveling and pursuing her, and how much better that made him feel, and what sort of lessons you can learn from his analysis of gender relations, both males and females, as we settle into comfort zones, our own personal comfort zones, but ones that maybe don't dismiss archetypes that work for thousands of years, but acknowledge their value and allow us to make informed choices. So HenryMakow.com. Alan Watts, CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com for an amazing philosophical overview of all of this. You can go to VRAN.org for legal vaccine exemption forms.
I do shout that out every show because there are big plans revealed at places like Infowars.com for Bill Gates and Gavi, the Global Alliance on Vaccinations and Immunizations, to ID and vaccinate every child on the planet. And they want a global vaccine database and a global vaccine schedule to make more profits for Big Pharma and to adversely affect our health. So VRAN.org for legal vaccine exemption forms. You can also go to fluoridealert.org. Calgary just got the fluoride out of the water. Toronto should be working on that soon. My website's whatyouwantabelievein.com. I got to rewrite things. Honestly, I'm having some issues here. I rewrote a section on parenting the other day, but I got to find ways to neurolinguistically program this so that it's more palatable. Maybe we don't pressure our politicians. Maybe we pester our politicians. Maybe we work with our politicians. I got to change things. Otherwise, it's hard to pass on. It's so tough not being able to just say things straight in this culture. But again, I recommend we try as often as possible. And if not, we try to find ways that we can tell the truth in this culture in ways that other people respect and understand and can act on. Also, TorontoTruthSeekers.com locally, Press4Truth.ca locally, ConspiracyCulture.com, book and DVD store at Queen and Roncesvalles, Victor Fletcher's Toronto Street News. Tons and tons of great options out there, folks. But don't forget, as I leave you with Lupe Fiasco and Skylar Gray's Words I Never Said, you can't take back words you never said. So once you know stuff's going on, once you know GMO foods are poisoning us, once you know the kids are messed up, once you know relationships are suffering as a result of the New World Order manipulations and machinations, perhaps on this Valentine's Day you can show someone you love that you love them by passing on something that can help them out. And if we all keep doing that, we'll be fine. Glad to be back on air, folks. Congratulations to CKLN Radio and the board and all of our fans and friends and allies again. Because as long as we're here, we're going to do our best to give you the best music and tell the best truth and the best news. And we hope you enjoy it. Have a great day, everybody. Peace out.
Give a loan today, so if you ever miss the payment, they can take your home away.